You ready to get into God's Word? Anybody ready?
Yes.
All right, the study this month has been on hope. This month's study has been on hope. And friend, I don't know exactly where you are tonight in your life. You might be ill physically. You might be hurting in your mind. Perhaps due to high levels of stress in your life, your mind feels maybe like it has snapped. Maybe the devil is speaking lies into your mind. Maybe you can't sleep at night. Maybe could it be in your spirit that you feel as good as dead? I'm here to tell you tonight, without Jesus Christ in the human heart, a person is spiritually dead. What did Jesus say in John 14:6? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is life. And when Jesus enters your life, He resurrects it from the dead. Is that good news? All right. Maybe in your soul tonight, in your emotional part, you feel down and depressed in your soul tonight. And let's read what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 43, verse 5. Psalm 43, verse 5. We all deal with depression and despondency, just like the psalmist. And this is what he writes. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." So the psalmist was experiencing what in his emotions? He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me?" He was experiencing depression in his life. That word "disturbed" means to feel commotion on the inside. And if David was the writer of this psalm, remember that Saul, the king, was hunting him down. In 1 Samuel 17, God through David brought about a great miracle. Remember, this great Philistine giant named Goliath. David took him down with a sling and a stone. He took down the Philistine giant. And in 1 Samuel 18, a chapter later, after the men came home, after David killed Goliath, the women came from all the towns of Israel singing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." 1 Samuel 18:7. And from that moment on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. 1 Samuel 18 verse 9. So Saul was hunting David down. He was after David's life. He wanted to kill David. And so David was in a state of persecution. He was in a state of being hunted down. He was depressed and disquieted within his emotions. Would you agree? If somebody was hunting you down or me down, we'd feel depressed as well, right? That's a major challenge, a major persecution in life that David was experiencing. And then he writes this in Psalm 43, verse 5. "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" Why are you downcast, O my soul? As if to say, it could have been worse, and thank God it is not. The question, he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" It's as if the psalmist was writing, it could have been worse, but thank God it is not. So in your life, maybe you received a report of high blood pressure. Thank God you didn't receive a report of cancer. It could have been worse for you, but it wasn't. Thank God. Could you say amen to that? Maybe you received notice that you lost a job, but thank God you didn't lose a child. It could have been worse for you, but thank God it was not. Is that good news? Maybe somebody you loved very intimately so much has divorced you, has completely cut ties with you. Thank God that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. It could have been worse for you, but thank God it's not. Say it with me tonight. It could have been worse for me, but thank God it's not. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, friends, I'm not trying to minimize the fact that we all go through valleys and low points in life. We all go through challenges in life. We all go and experience losses in life, which cause us at times to become despondent and depressed like the psalmist. And I've been there. If you're depressed tonight, if you're down in your emotions tonight, I have been there. I know what you're going through. Back in late 2006, due to a series of events, I experienced severe depression for about a month and a half. And I just didn't want to get up in the morning, didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want to be outside, didn't want to eat. I was just depressed beyond measure. And if you're there, I know what you're experiencing tonight. But by the grace of God, by my hope in God, He delivered me. And by the end of 2006, by the end of that year, I was soaring like an eagle with the Almighty God. God delivered me. God rescued me from the cave of depression. God is no respecter of persons. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Is that good news?
Amen.
All right. Do you love God?
Amen.
So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about how to overcome depression. How to overcome depression that you might be experiencing today or that you may experience in the future. How to overcome depression. Number one, remember this. Realize that there is hope for you. What is hope? Studying this a little bit. A secular definition is this. Belief in good outcomes related to the events in one's life. The secular definition of hope is this. Belief in good outcomes related to the events in one's life. Now, Chuck Swindoll gives a good spiritual definition of hope. And he says this from the speaker's quote book. He says, hope is a wonderful gift from God, a source of strength and courage in the face of life's harshest trials. When we are trapped in a tunnel of misery, hope points to light at the end. When we are overworked and exhausted, hope gives us fresh energy. When we are discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. When we are tempted to quit, hope keeps us going. Friend, there is light at the end of your tunnel. So if you're in depression right now, if you're down in your emotions, despondent, disquieted like the psalmist, remember this, that there is hope for you. There is light at the end of your dark tunnel. Amen? Say it with me tonight. There is light
at the end
of my tunnel. In Jesus' name. Amen. So for the next couple of minutes, we're going to talk about developing hope. Some of the ways to develop this Christian hope. The first and most important way in developing hope is what? First and foremost way to developing hope is what?
Read the word.
Is relationship with Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we are a hopeless people. Without Jesus in our lives, we are destined for a lost eternity. But Jesus brings you and me hope that is out of this world. See, when Jesus enters the human spirit, like I said earlier, it's like it is resurrected from the dead. 1 John 5. But I got a Bible, you can turn there. 1 John 5. This is what he writes in 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. That's Zoe life, the life of God. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus can bring life into your emotions. That's the first way to develop your hope, is by relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Maybe up until this point, you've been trusting yourself. You've been leaning on yourself. You've been depending on your own mental capacities. But imagine two chairs. Imagine two chairs. I've given this illustration before. One chair is called, say, Jonathan. Or say, Jonathan is right here. We don't have it. And this one is Jesus. I'm seated on Jonathan. This is what faith in Jesus is like. It's getting up off the chair called Jonathan and leaning, sitting, and resting upon Jesus. Is that good news here tonight? If you want to develop hope in your life, God's hope in your life, it all begins with relationship with God the Son, Jesus Christ. Is that good news here tonight? If you're not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus in your life, you're rebelling against God. You're living in rebellion to God, and God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to Him. Hope. Say it with me. There is hope. Say it with me. There is hope.
There is hope.
In relationship
with
Jesus Christ. God the Son.
And
friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that your life up until this point may have been hellish. As I said earlier, maybe losses in your life, maybe unexpected reports. Maybe you were trying to achieve a certain goal or objective and it just hasn't happened in your life. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a child. I don't know what it is in your life that you're dealing with tonight. Maybe it's been a hellish experience for you on this earth, but I've got good news. If this life has been hellish for you, you can have the confident expectation, hope that by faith in Jesus Christ, an awesome heaven awaits you. Is that good news? If your life has been like hell on earth, you can have the confident expectation, that's hope, that heaven is awaiting you when you leave this earth by faith in Jesus. In heaven, it is beautiful. There is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There's the presence of God there always. There is no more physical suffering. There is no more loss. Heaven is an awesome place. You don't want to miss it for anything. It all starts with relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that good news? So, let me say it again. The first and most important way in developing Christian hope is relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the psalmist writes in Psalm 43:5. What does he write? We read it. What does he write in Psalm 43:5? He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me?" And then what does he write? He says, "Put your what in God? Put your what in God?" He says, put your hope in God. In other words, I will wait expectantly on God. The other way to develop hope is what? The first way is relationship with Christ. But the other way to develop hope in your life, confident expectation, is what? Is to develop your faith in God, God the Father. You've got to remember this, friend. God the Father has got your back. He will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Say it with me tonight. God has got my back. Remember this, faith in God is patiently expecting the best possible outcome from the hand of God in your life. Should I say it again? Faith in God is patiently expecting the best possible outcome from the hand of God in your life. So to develop your hope, you've got to do what? What's the second way? You've got to develop your faith relationship with the Almighty God. I'm here to tell you tonight, by faith and by trust in God, there is light at the end of your tunnel. I'm going to use some gospel illustrations here of people that had faith in God, that had hope in the Almighty God. Matthew chapter 9, if you've got a Bible, I'll read it to you if not. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. This is Jesus doing a miracle. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Two blind men and Jesus, they knew that the healer was near them. And they had what in Jesus? God the Son. They had faith in Jesus. And because they had this strong faith in Jesus, that Jesus could heal them, they had what? They had strong hope. They were expecting the best possible outcome. Friend, that's what faith is. That's what faith in God is. Faith in God is expecting the best possible outcome. These two blind men knew that they knew that they knew deep down on the inside that Jesus could heal them. They were full of hope, confident expectation that there was light at the end of their tunnel. Why? Because they had strong faith in Jesus Christ, God the Son, that He could heal them. Say it with me tonight. Faith expects the best possible outcome. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the two blind men were expecting the best. They were expecting to receive their sight, and God honored their faith. God is no respecter of persons. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that He never changes. God the Father never changes. If you've got that same faith in God, that expectation of the best possible outcome, He will honor your faith. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. God honors faith. Remember this, the two blind men had hope because they had strong faith in God. How do you develop your faith in God? By seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. Knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God is going to do the miracle in your life that He promised you. Could you say amen to that?
Amen.
And if you've got your eye on the light at the end of the tunnel, you've got your eye on the prize, if you've got your eye on the promise of God in your life, you will be full of hope, confident expectation, knowing that God will do it for you. Is that good news? All right, another instance. Mark chapter 5. The woman who bled for 12 years. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak, because she thought, if I just touch His clothes, I will be healed. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 34, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." This woman bled for 12 years. She suffered for 12 years. She must have gone through tremendous despair and depression for 12 years. And maybe you're there right now. Maybe you've been in depression for a long, long time. A long time. But this woman had confident expectation. She had hope. Why did she have this confident expectation and hope? Because she had faith in Jesus Christ, God the Son. She had faith in God. She just knew that she knew deep down on the inside, if she could but touch His hem, she would be healed. And guess what? God honored her faith. She touched His hem and her bleeding stopped. This woman was expecting what? By faith, what was she expecting? She was expecting the best possible outcome, that her bleeding would stop. And if you read from verses 30 to 33, people were bumping into Jesus. There was a big crowd there. And Jesus said, "But who touched me?" The disciples said, "Jesus, what do you mean who touched you? There's people bumping into you." But what Jesus was trying to say that was that this was a special touch from the woman. It was a touch of faith. She just knew that she knew that she knew that God would heal her. She was expecting the best. On the other hand, fear, tormenting fear from the devil, does what? It expects the worst possible outcome. Is that making sense here tonight? Remember it. Faith expects the best possible outcome. Another instance. Abraham. How many here know about Abraham? Father of faith, Abraham was how old when God promised him that He would make him into a great nation? How old was Abraham when God made the promise that He would make him into a great nation? He was how old?
73.
He was 75. Okay, how old was he when Isaac was born through whom the great nation would come? He was 100. So if you take 100 minus 75, how long did Abraham confidently expect the miracle? 25 years. And you've been believing a month or 2 months or a year or 2 years? Abraham believed God expectantly for 25 years without wavering in his faith. Romans 4, verse 18. And it says this, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' without weakening in his faith, verse 19, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He waited 25 years without wavering in his faith. Abraham knew that the God who promised him to make him into a great nation would do it. He knew that he knew that he knew deep down on the inside that God would be faithful to him. So my question to you tonight is this. Do you know that you know that you know that God is going to do it for you? Do you know by faith? Do you know that you know that you know deep down on the inside that your miracle is around the corner? What does it say about Abraham? It says, without weakening in his faith. How do you stay strong in your faith? Like I just said a minute ago, how do you stay strong in your hope? How do you stay strong in your faith? The thing that God has promised you, the miracle that God told you he would do in your life. How do you keep believing in hope? How do you confidently expect this thing from God? By keeping your eyes focused on the prize, on God. Knowing that God is faithful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Is that good news here tonight? Say it with me tonight. Hope is confident expectation based on my strong faith in the Almighty God. All right. Another way to get out of depression is this. The final way is to step out of yourself. Step out of yourself. Remember I told you I was highly depressed in 2006. Highly depressed. I was beyond myself, but towards the end of that year, I felt on the inside that I needed to help two different families financially. Stepped out of myself, took a big leap of faith, helped these two families and friends. I'm telling you, it was a good sum of money. Stepped out of myself, I did it, and after I did it, friends, it's like I just bounced out of that cave of depression. It was like I was soaring like an eagle with the Almighty God. And you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. I'm living here at the shelter. But friends, it could have been worse, and thank God it is not. There is somebody out there tonight sleeping under a bridge, but you're not. You're in this place here tonight. I'm here to encourage you tonight. Step out beyond yourself to help somebody in greater need than you. Jonathan, how can I help somebody in greater need than myself? God has given you a mouth. Speak words of encouragement. You know, God has given you time. Spend some time with the lonely person. Spend some time with that person in the hospital. Spend some time with that person in the nursing home. Give of yourself. I'm going to read one more quote to you. One more quote. It says this. In closing here tonight, you can be cured in 14 days to patients afflicted with melancholy and depression if you follow this prescription. Try to think every day how you can please someone. In 14 days, you can be cured of depression by thinking every day how you can step out of yourself to help somebody else in greater need than you. Is that good? See, when a person is depressed, when you're depressed, you're focused on your problem. You're focused on yourself. You're focused on you. But when you step out of yourself to help somebody else, the focus switches from you to somebody else to where you start forgetting about your problem. You start forgetting about yourself. And you spring out of that depression. Is that good news here tonight?